And now number 7, live on purpose. So we see here that when we, Mary and Martha had to make these choices, they're weighing, I can't do everything, I can't get it all done. It says that Martha was, what Jesus said to her on page 1 of your scripture handout, line 41, what Jesus said to her is, Martha, you're worried. You're worried. And that word is usually used in the Bible for an attitude that's focused on the things of this world instead of seeing the unseen realities. We can be worried about all the messes of this life and focused on those things. And that's why it's so important that while Martha was worried and her life seemed so noisy, we saw that word earlier, Mary chose the good part, Jesus says in line 42. That word good in Greek can mean good or better or best. And in this context, she chose what was better than Martha, and I think we could even say she chose what was best, what had eternal value. And so this reminds us in life, despite the fact that we may be worried and focused on the things of this world and overwhelmed by all that there is, you are going to be making some choices. You're always prioritizing. And instead of getting worried with the things that don't really matter, we really do have to focus on what really does matter. That's how you rise up above the noise all around you and all the expectations that stress you out. That's how you rise above a frantic life of constantly being overwhelmed because there's too much to do. You live on purpose. You choose the most important things. And what's most important? Sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. Sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Him. That is the ultimate priority choice. The choice to focus on your relationship with Jesus. That is a focus on being more than doing. Those of you who are part of Grace Bible Church have heard me talk frequently about being is more important than doing. And so I got a big kick out of it this week when, I think this is actually the book I brought. Yeah, when I was looking through the Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living, and here's this big being versus doing chart. Like, hey, what do you know? Doing is important. It's just not most important. The Bible insists that who we are is more important than what we accomplish. Who was accomplishing more, Martha or Mary, in the zoomed out picture? That's interesting, huh? It wasn't the frenzied, stressed person. Being is more important than doing. And to focus on being, we have to listen. Because it's God's wisdom that changes who we are. Mary sat to listen. And I think it's really important to notice that she sat to listen. She didn't just join in the meal preparations and say, Jesus, keep talking, I can hear you. Isn't that what we do with a lot of important things in life, including listening to God? We need to sit down and concentrate on the Bible so that we can hear Jesus' word. Scientists say that the nature of the mind is such that it does not want to stay concentrated. And I thought Carolyn Mahaney's line was really good when she wrote, sitting still is hard work for little boys. That's not easy for us women either. It surely wasn't easy for Martha. But in Proverbs 8, wisdom says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. We've got to sit down and spend time listening. Now, Jesus is not physically present for us to sit at his feet, but when we take the Bible and we sit down and slow down and quiet our hearts down enough to listen, we're hearing the word of Christ. That's what it says. And when we pray, we're talking to him. And so we need to sit. And though our schedules can vary and sometimes make this impossible, it's best if we can start our day with some calm and some quiet listening to Jesus and praying. Even Jesus showed us that example. Mark 1, early in the morning, still dark, he got up, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. Early in the morning, that might sound like a stressor to you. But if you don't start the day sitting at Jesus' feet, what will be the first things on your mind? Tell me, what are the first things you'll think of when you get out of bed in the morning if it's not God's word that intervenes? Your to-do list, right? Your stressors. What's coming that day? And you'll probably very shortly be thinking about how it's too much or too frustrating or too annoying or not what you wanted or not what you had planned. And there you go. What just happened in your body? What just happened to your rubber band? You've only been up 5 minutes. Or you wake up, open your eyes, roll over, grab your phone. Okay, you just introduced a mindset intervention into your day. Maybe it was good. Maybe a friend sent you something really encouraging from the Bible. But maybe it was something completely different. Maybe you started your day with news about the election. What a great mindset intervention. So Brad Hambrick says it this way: we need to start the day in relaxed dependence. He uses that word relaxed on purpose because for those of you who are very task-oriented, driven, accomplish a lot, sitting at Jesus' feet can be a task for you to accomplish. What are you doing? I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet! I'm going to listen! Okay. Woo! This is a relationship, not another task to accomplish. It's relaxed, but it is not empty meditation. It is not emptying yourself so that the eternal flow can come into you or something. It is relaxing your heart from all of this stuff so that you can hear what Jesus says. So that that truth can cut into your life. So start the day in relaxed dependence. Now, does this mean that the most valuable life is the life of reading your Bible and praying all day, every day? Well, remember that this story about Mary and Martha is right after which other story? On your scripture handout, Mary and Martha are at the bottom of page one. What's at the top of page one? The Good Samaritan. He's out on a journey. It's probably work. He sees a guy that's in big trouble. He's got to do something. He's got to jump into action to serve someone else. The Bible tells us that when God made us his children, he created us for good works. He created us to do some things, to live for some important things. So I like to think of it as God's to-do list. As one writer said, we can accomplish, we're on page 17 now, 17. We can accomplish everything God has ordained for us to do in this life. Hint, it's probably not half of what's on your to-do list. Yeah. And we can do it in a peaceful, joyful manner and get sufficient rest besides. Starting the day with relaxed dependence allows us to consider God's to-do list instead of just our own. What does God want me to live for today? You know, we mentioned earlier Ephesians 5:16. We want to make the most of the time because the days are evil. But that doesn't mean squeezing work into every tiny crack of your life. That is not what making the most of the time means. Making the most of the time means doing with your life what God wants you to do with your life. Being on God's to-do list. We can see if we look over in Jesus' teaching on prayer. This is in your scripture handout on page 2. What is the first place Jesus tells us to start when we pray? On page 2, it's line 2. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. May your name be set apart and honored as uniquely great. May your kingdom come. So what's the place you're supposed to start in your praying? With God's to-do list, with what God is doing, with God's kingdom. And this is just what Jesus presents as the alternative to anxiety. We were talking about anxiety a little bit earlier. On your scripture handout, it's page 3, no, it's page 4. Let's read the whole thing, starting up in line 22 and down through 32. on page 4 of your scripture handout. Jesus said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." You remember what he said to Mary? He said about Mary, he said, this isn't going to be taken away from her. See how that connects to, don't worry, God's going to give you the kingdom. See, there's a bigger eternal picture of what God's doing. And what Jesus says in line 31 is, don't worry, but seek his kingdom. It's the antidote to worry. So let's connect this directly to stress in a couple different ways. First of all, you were created to work. Created to work. Work can be stressful in a broken world, and we might wrongly conclude that work is bad. But all the way back at creation, we read what God said to Adam and Eve. God blessed them, and God said to them, Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That verse is so important because in that verse you have a stressor. God just said, do this. Woo! That's a stressor, right? Do you think that Adam had a natural physical bodily response to being told, do this with creation? Absolutely. His brain kicked into gear. God's given me something to do. There's stressor and stress response. But this is before sin. There's no damaging stress going on. There's no sinful response to that. You see, you are created for work. You are created for challenge. You are created to be on God's to-do list. And so the reason this is so essential is because the answer to stress is not to avoid every stressor. Scientific research makes it very clear that people are less happy when they are less busy. You were created by God to stay busy, to face challenges, to work. You can flourish while working, experiencing good stress and not damaging stress. But the key is to remember principle number 7, live on purpose. Make priority choices so that you're busy with important things. When you're focused on God and busy with important things, you'll experience the stress of challenges, but it will be good. You'll thrive on it. You'll reach the end of the day exhausted a lot of times, but not damaged by stress. Isn't that good? Not only were we created to work, but now, page 18, we were created to have purpose. McGonagall says, writing about your values is one of the most powerful psychological interventions ever studied. In other words, the data shows that if I want to change your mindset about something, one of the most powerful ways we know I can do it is by simply having you write out what's important to you and why this matters. Dr. Stephen Cole says, both our experience of meaning and purpose in life seem to be recurrent themes that associate tightly with favorable molecular changes. There it is again. This has come up over and over and over again, that the way God created you, the things God created you to do, when you live on purpose for God's to-do list, your body benefits. Your body responds in a positive way. Favorable molecular changes. God created us to have purpose and meaning. So look at this next quote from McGonagall. "Anything that feels a bit stressful can start to feel like an intrusion into your life. you may find yourself complaining about these experiences as if your life has gone off course and there is some stress. That's a typo I put in there. Sorry. There is some stress-free version of it out there waiting for you. Oh, that really hits home for me. The sense that the stressful things are bad intrusions into my life. And so, it, you know, there's this temptation, like we said, to try to solve our problems by getting rid of every stressor, but you can't do it. You were made for challenges. And Sapolsky says that the research shows it can be enormously stressful to construct a world without stressors. What it does is it leads to a nasty spiral of anxiety. Avoidance, anxiety, avoidance, anxiety, avoidance, anxiety. It's miserable. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been stuck there. You can't avoid every stressor or you will lose some really valuable things. So on your put it into action sheet, we're to part 8. If your stressors were taken away, would you lose anything of value to you? If I could just magically, in a godlike way, take that stressor completely out of your life, would I also have taken something of value from you? I hope that point is helpful for you. It is so valuable for me to be reminded that work matters and God created it for me. It helps me stop this silly little cycle of I can't do it all, it's too much. And it is so helpful for me to be reminded that my most important stressors are also connected to the most valuable things in my life, and I wouldn't give them up for anything. You know? So that helps me. And that leads us now to principle. You can't